Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein Online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, November 21st, 2007. The only November 21st, 2007 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this particular Wednesday night. Glad to have you with us. The night before Thanksgiving and all through the house. That's another holiday coming up.
You're all confused, Glenn.
What else is new? This is Glenn Klein Online, and we want to welcome online the president of the Gospel Revolution. Coming to us tonight live from beautiful Palm Springs, California, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Yes?
How are you doing this evening?
I am doing so well, I don't know what to do with myself.
You having a little downtime with some friends out there in California?
I am. I came out to experience a Palm Springs Thanksgiving this year, and so I'm looking forward to that. I've got a lot of really good friends here in the desert, and the family that I'm staying with, and in fact, one of my good friends here, she and her hubby are here, and she's a Jewish girl, and I think he's from a long line of believers, and just wanted to stay away from the whole thing. So, but we're dear friends, and it's not based on what we believe; it's based on friendship, and it's just been really good, long-lasting friendships.
Well, if she's a good Jewish girl, she's not going to have any sausage in the stuffing tomorrow. Sorry to disappoint
you. No, she is not. And that is, she makes that clear. No pork in her house, so.
Well, thank God for that, Michael. You will be celebrating a righteous and holy Thanksgiving.
It will be sanctified, for sure.
That's a beautiful thing. This is Glenn Klein Online. Lots to talk about. Michael coming off some very successful trips north to Calgary. We talked a little bit about that last week with John Adair, and just finishing up a long weekend in the great state of Wisconsin, the land of cheese.
Oh, my.
And a good time was had by all?
Yes. Oh, my. That was that trip was one of those. I really don't care whether anybody had a good time or not. I had a wonderful time. So I'm glad that others have certainly reported their delight in what took place. But I tell you what, Glenn, I had the time of my life, and believe me, I am a man that is affected by the weather, and Wisconsin and this time of the year is not a match for me. But with the results that we had and the insights and things that happened along the way, was just off the charts. So we have another brand new series that is in the pipeline, and it's at the office. Well, it's actually still with me. I haven't gone home yet, so it's on.
Well, the office is with you, is what you're saying.
The office is with me right now. We kind of keep it with me anywhere we are, but we've got to get the recorder back in early next week, and then the next new series is in line. I believe the title of it is going to be The Old and Dying and the New and the Living, or some version of that. I know that that Amber is not going to like that title because it's too long.
Well, so. rumor had it that it was going to be Out with the Old, In with the New, but
there you go. Who said that?
You did, apparently, because that's what the report I got from Wisconsin.
Well, my goodness. Well, see, I was waiting to hear. I didn't say that, but hey, now we've got the title to the new series. So
that's what Pep Washburn, who hosted Michael, said that you said. So, you know, it would not be unlike you to forget that. However, I like the Out with the Old, In with the New.
No, I didn't say it in that way. That was Pep's rendition as it came out of his heart and mind.
Maybe you spoke in tongues, and that was the interpretation of the tongues.
Well, we have now tongued the interpretation,
that's
and
awesome.
We're going to make it the title. So,
speaking of that trip to Wisconsin, got an email from Pep today, and check this out, Michael. He said, I spent an hour on the phone with Doug and Diane, who were former Believers Church people. They were the only attendees from Marshfield. You had a lot of people from other areas besides Pappin.
Other states. Yeah.
and they are very excited about what they learned and want to know more. Doug is spending hours at the Gospel Logic site, and I think he's starting to go into the webcast archives as well, Pep says. He said one comment he made the other day on the phone was, it's incredible how differently I now look at people that I used to consider non-believers. It's good not to have a judgment mentality. Amen.
Wow.
And Pep says he's going to give some of Mike's stuff from the past to listen to. That's one of the things that obviously we hope that you guys do with the CDs is give them out, make copies of them, get it out there. That's what it's for. And so here's a guy who already, just after having sat under your teaching, Michael, for I don't know how many meetings he was at, but just at the most for one weekend, says how wonderful it is to look at people without a judgment mentality. That's one of the great benefits of the gospel.
Oh, it is, and that is the two things that we have been for many years now, pounding the pavement, if you will, that the power of the gospel is not necessarily manifested by what is added to your life. The power of the gospel is manifested by what has been subtracted from your life and what has been taken away. And the number one thing, of course, that is taken away is guilt. And the second thing is judgment. And, we went for years that we didn't teach any of the benefits of the gospel at all. And I believe they are many and varied and more than what I could even name or all the persons on the earth could name the benefits of the gospel. But until we understand that the true power of the gospel is what has been totally separated from our lives and has been left out. One of the things, which I'm going to give the people just a little bit of a glimpse of a brand new series that's coming out soon that has yet to be taught. I could probably give you titles of several, but as I was teaching up there, we were going through the series that I was teaching on. I won't go into detail about that, but that we went across the verse in Luke where that John first began to speak of Jesus in his earthly ministry after their incidental birth being 6 months apart. And then John's first voice as it came into the area out of the wilderness, as it says. And it says he was speaking about Jesus, and he knew what the prophets had said. And he said, and his fan it will be in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his floor, and he shall separate the wheat from the chaff, and he shall gather all the wheat into his garner, and shall burn the chaff with an unquenchable fire. And all of a sudden, in my heart, it just came blazing in this question, which I get asked questions more than I get answers. And that's the way I learn. And it came to my heart, who told you that the chaff was people? And Glenn, I was absolutely stricken. I just was, I sat just dumbfounded at how ignorant I had been to have falsely assumed. And when you read all of that.
Who told you that? Who told you that the chaff was people?
The very first Baptist church I ever went to.
Oops.
The very first Baptist church I ever went to, and then everybody that came along after that. The Catholics told me that. And then the Charismatics and the Pentecostals and the Full Gospel all told me that the chaff was the people. And
then we started telling people that they were chaff.
And we told them. And we spread the lie. But the fact of it is, chaff is that which was old and was dying, that was a part of the people's life. It was the separating of the old covenant from God's, from the people of the planet, that it was old, it was dying, and we've got every verse in the book to in Hebrews, as you pointed out in our conversation, I think, earlier today, of that which is old and dying is ready to be put away, you know, and what Jesus was referring to wasn't people that he was going to separate the good people from the bad people and burn up the bad ones. He was separating the old covenant, the law, the rules, the regulations, the unrighteousness of in his eyes, and separate it from the people, and sin that he was going to separate from people and gather all the wheat into the garner and burn up all the chaff. And now, you talk about a CD series, I can't wait. I mean, it's like, okay, let's stop the broadcast and let me preach this now.
That would be all right, but that, then they wouldn't buy the CDs either. So.
Yeah, I know. So
we'd like to break even before we start making money. Which segues nicely into a major thank you to everybody who participated in the Autumn Pledge.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
We are happy to report that we more than met our goal for $5,000 in annual monthly giving, and little short on the one-time $5,000 goal. But if anybody wants to chip in tonight, always appreciated. And but very close, Michael. I mean, we're very pleased with the outcome of the effort.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
We're about a little over $1,000 short on that the second part of the $10,000 goal, but we'll take it.
Yes. Yeah, and then but of course the one that it makes the greatest impact. It's like the people doubled up and really jumped in there on the monthly contributions, and literally, Glenn, this last 3 weeks changed the entire financial picture for the ministry for the next year.
Yeah, it sure did.
And goodness, that's just the faithfulness of the people themselves, and we are so, so grateful for that and appreciative, because we know that nobody twisted their arm. We know that they weren't promised, gifts from heaven. We know that they gave because they believe that what they have heard is valuable enough for somebody else to hear. And that's why we encourage people to give, is that if you've heard and you understand and you have felt the impact, then let somebody else feel it. And it's also just a way of saying thank you also. Nothing wrong with turning around and saying thanks to that which has blessed your life, that's for sure.
And we want to thank everybody who did chip in the last week. Frankly, too many to mention right now because we do have an entire show and an exciting show, but you will have our undying gratitude, and thank you to everybody who did participate in the Autumn Pledge Drive, and we won't have another pledge drive till next year. So, but as always, thank you for keeping up with your monthly giving, and we'd like to we're happy to raise money for this effort because we believe in it so much. But it's also nice to get back to the regular format, if you will, of this webcast, which is talking about Jesus, which is talking about what Jesus has done for us and how God sees us. It's also about, frankly, entertaining you a bit. And we got a great email, Michael, from our boy Greg Ambergy in Ohio. And, he just says he doesn't usually forward these kind of stories along, but I thought it was a good one to share and a good way to commence the webcast this evening. So this is from Greg from Cincinnati. A man boarded an airplane and took his seat. As he settled in, he glanced up and saw the most beautiful woman boarding the plane. He soon realized that she was heading straight towards his seat. As fate would have it, she took the seat right beside his. Eager to strike up a conversation, he blurted out, "Business trip or pleasure?" She smiled and turned to him and said, "Business. I'm going to the annual Nymphomaniacs of America convention in Chicago." He swallowed hard. Here was the most gorgeous woman he had ever seen sitting next to him, and she was going to a meeting for Nymphomaniacs. Struggling to maintain his composure, he calmly asked, what's your business role at the convention?" "Lecturer," she responded. "I'm the lead lecturer, where I use the information that I've learned from my own personal experiences to debunk some of the popular myths about sexuality." "Really?" he said. "And what kind of myths are there?" "Well," she explained, "one popular myth is that African-American men are the most well-endowed of all men, when in fact it is the Native American Indian who is most likely to possess that trait. Another popular myth is that Frenchmen are the best lovers, when actually it is the men of Jewish descent that are the best." This is the part that why I wanted to read this.
I'm beginning to catch the drift.
And you'll love this part. I have also discovered that the lover with the absolute best stamina is the southern redneck. Suddenly, the woman became a little uncomfortable and blushed. She said, I'm sorry. She said, I shouldn't really be discussing all this with you since I don't even know your name. My name, the man said, Tonto. Tonto Goldstein. But my friends call me Bubba. See, that's the gospel right at work. First of all, you know, humor. But here is all of humanity in just one guy's name, you know, a Native American Jewish guy who's got a southern redneck nickname. So it's a beautiful thing.
Well, that proves that Glenn Klein can get the gospel out of anything, I tell you.
Ain't that the truth? This is Glenn Klein Online with Michael Williams. We have our toll-free line available to you tonight at 1-800-436-3260, taking your calls. 1-800-436-3260. Any questions, any comments, any relatively clean humor is accepted on the Gospel Revolution webcast known as Glenn Klein Online. And I also wanted to use this opportunity. We had a question from Betty, who I think sincerely asked a question a few weeks ago of me, which was that she noticed that I talked a lot about homosexuality and how gay and lesbian men and women are as righteous as any good old-fashioned heterosexual is in the eyes of God. But she wanted to know if I was a gay man. And Betty, I wish I could tell you differently, but no, I am heterosexual. And not that there's anything wrong with being heterosexual.
What a way. Yeah. What a way.
So, yes, we have pointed out many times, we do get to all questions addressed here at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And if you've got a question for us tonight, feel free to fire that off. We've got lots of good ones in queue right now. But have that at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And tonight, as we promoted earlier today, we're going to have our first ever segment. This is a historical evening here.
Yes.
On the webcast of sorts. We are going to be premiering our new segment entitled Legalist of the Week.
And drum roll and all.
It's going to be featuring later on in the webcast the bishop himself, the very popular T.D. Jakes. We'll be hearing from later on here on Glenn Klein Online. So you want to be sure to stay tuned for that, that we're going to have some fun with that. We have a very good reason why we are going to be doing these Legalists of the Week, and we're real excited about it. And so please make sure that you stay tuned for the premiere of the Legalist of the Week, this week featuring the Bishop, T.D. Jakes. Here's a question, Michael, that comes in from Paul, our good friend from the United Kingdom. He says, this may seem like an odd question, but if my mother and father had never met, does that mean I would never have existed? Or would my spirit have formed in another physical body created by the union of different parents? That's from Paul in England.
Good. Well, Paul,
we love your questions, Paul, by the way.
Yes, Paul, definitely, always. The question is just a little bit bigger than I am, that's for sure. We enjoy letting those who do exist know what God's view and opinion of them are. I don't have a clue as to what you might have been, could have been, before, or, after, or if your parents, might not have had that, moment, whether parents married or just an encounter, who knows, you know. We do believe that the human life as we know it was definitely changed regardless of whose parents you come from, and that we do have a wonderful universal view that God has of the human race through the work of the cross. That we actually can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we're not in some separate society, and that this society is not broken up between all of the labels that we have assigned it to, but instead we really are one. And to be able to tell you where people were before they got here, I don't have a clue.
Oh, Michael, come on. I mean, you know, minister of the gospel saying that I don't know an answer to a question?
I don't know, Glenn. Leave me alone.
Well, the Bible does say that God knew us before we were created in the womb. Now, we have an entire religion that has formed, just like so many other sects and denominations, around one passage of the Bible. And the Mormons have a very interesting take on that. And we would refer you to your Book of Mormon, which I'm sure you have on your shelf there in the UK, Paul. But you know what? That's the bottom line. We don't know. We talk about a lot of times stuff we don't know. But what we really like to focus on is what we do know, which is that those that were created, that were conceived from the time of that conception until they end up in heaven, that they get there because of the blood of Jesus. And that means everybody.
Everybody.
It's great stuff. We had this question a couple of weeks ago from Gerald, and I love this. He said, I tried to find your statement of faith at your site, but did not see it. Could you provide a link for this or simply send me the text document with it? Most religious sites provide this for the benefit of site's visitors. Thank you in advance. And that was from Gerald. And I love that question because he said that most religious sites provide this benefit for the site visitors. Well, first of all, Michael, we're not a religious site. That's number one. we're about as anti-religious as you can. Notice we didn't say anti-religious people.
Yep.
We are definitely anti-religion, though. But then, you know, it occurred to me that we have an entire website that's our statement of faith. That's all that's on the website, really, is what our faith is. Or actually what the faith of God is, what causes us to be saved by knowing that it's the faith of God, Michael, not faith in God, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, our faith in God means nothing when it comes to relationship with God, our union with God, our righteousness before God. It is the strength that we gain is knowing that we are accepted by God based on a perfect faith, and that is the faith of God himself. And you know what, Glenn, I've got my computer right here in front of me, and people must be wanting to make that goal of the $5,000 mark. We just got a $100 contribution come into PayPal from Mary Keller.
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
It's like, we're not doing the pledge drive. What are you doing, Mary?
We're happy for your disobedience, Mary.
And Mary is from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Can you imagine this gospel being supported out of Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Thanks a lot, Mary. Another place this gospel is supported is in the great state of California. And now we have online with us our good friend Ron calling us from the West Coast. Ron, how are you tonight? Hello, Ron.
Hello, Ron.
Is he there, Patty? Or did he drop off? Ron, you there? All right, we'll try to get back Ron on the line. Of course, Ron, you've got his number there, right, Pat? Okay, we're going to try to get Ron. Ron is a gentleman that had been battling suicidal thoughts. A lot of you commented and were touched by his story, and we've been in touch with him. And I don't know if Ron's cell phone dropped out, but we'll try to get him back on. And getting back to the whole thing with Gerald is that, you know, I said to him, our whole website is our statement of faith. And he emailed me back and he asked some very direct questions. He said, do you believe that that everybody goes to heaven? So I said, yes. Do you believe that there's a hell? I said, no. And he asked a very direct question. And he was so happy, Michael. And his response was really pleasant, that he appreciated how direct we were in the answers to the questions. We didn't beat around the bush.
No politics in this gospel.
Yeah, it's just straightforward. So many times you see these ministers on a secular program like Larry King Live or something like that, and Larry King, who's a Jewish guy who's never professed faith in Christ, he's known them all, Billy Graham, Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Jimmy Swaggart, they've all been on his show, and more and more and more, and all the evangelical Christian celebrities like Pat Boone, etc., and Larry King often has asked them, well, do Jewish people, for example, Larry King being Jewish, do they go to heaven? Well, they always beat around the bush, Larry.
Man, I wish we had clips from all of the dancing that's been done on his show, because he has asked them point blank. and none of them have answered his question.
No. Nobody's reached across the table and said, Larry, you're going to hell, brother.
You're going to fry, bro, because that's what they say in the pulpit.
Yep.
Why are they ashamed, Glenn? Let me interview you tonight. Glenn, Klein, can you tell me why they are ashamed of their gospel?
Because it's not the gospel. Because
you're exactly right. Well, you're good.
Thank you so very much. The Bible says that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And you know what? It's when you know the power of God, the gospel, that God loves you unconditionally, it is powerful, and that's how you get saved. You know that everybody, including yourself, has been redeemed. And the Bible says, to those that will believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And let me tell you, folks, the Jews and the Greeks or the Gentiles, that's all there is. There ain't anybody else. And so, you know, people say, well, this is how, obviously, Michael, how one is redeemed, how one achieves salvation through believing. No, it was just a statement of faith that you are not going to be ashamed of this gospel, because once you believe it, you're going to know that everybody is in and everybody is saved. And once, Michael, there is not an audience that I would be afraid to be in front of, unlike the evangelical days.
Where I
would be ashamed to stand up and say, ladies and gentlemen, members at the Al-Qaeda convention in Damascus or wherever they have their conventions at. We're going to have our convention, by the way, in Houston.
Yes.
In May, we'll talk about that. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll probably be just the gentlemen of Al-Qaeda, you are completely and utterly righteous before God. You are as righteous as Jesus Christ is righteous. And they believe in Jesus, by the way.
Yes.
And in any function in any venue, I would never be ashamed. And yet, Michael, these guys have had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. The nationally known, the Franklin Grahams, I remember him being on Larry King when he said some wild things after 9/11. When they're on there after Katrina and things like that.
I was just recalling Anne and her response, you know, to that direct question about who was about specific people going to hell, and she's, you know, well, you know, God is the judge, only God knows for sure. Well, then why don't you just shut up then? If God's the only one that knows, why are you going around telling people who is and who is not going to heaven? If you can't answer the question, be quiet.
Yes, exactly. How can you have one message for inside the church, the so-called church, an institutional structure, and another message when you're on worldwide satellite television? You think if what you were preaching in the four walls of your congregation was true, that you'd want to get it out over all the world on places like CNN and Fox News.
I mean, and a moment of giving just some recognition due, and that when Carlton Pearson was interviewed, they asked him point blank. And if anybody was going to hell, and he said no. And to his credit, thank you, Carlton.
Yeah, Carlton. Carlton's been placed in a very unique position, and thank God. Thank God for it.
Yes.
This is Glenn Klein online. We are talking with Michael Williams. We're talking gospel stuff tonight on the webcast. Feel free to join us. Ron, if you're listening, sorry you got cut off. Please feel free to call back. We have three lines, Michael. We can take three callers.
How about
yourself.
That?
That's wonderful. 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. Or feel free to email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. As always, if we do not get to your questions tonight, or you email your question because you were listening on the archive, we will get to them, absolutely. Eventually, we get to them all.
Absolutely.
And we're happy to do so. This is the number one way that we communicate with you guys vis-a-vis your questions is through the webcast. And because we want everybody to hear them, because they, just like we're talking about with Ron's situation when he called in, a lot of people will benefit by hearing your question, because if you're having them, chances are there are a lot of people having them. So let's see. I got a good comment here. This is kind of a longer letter. We always ask you folks to keep them a little bit brief so that we can get to more questions that way. I think Ron's calling back right now. We got him? Nope. The phone is ringing. Stay tuned, folks, because not only are we getting some more questions, but momentarily we're going to have our first Legalist of the Week segment, first one ever, featuring T.D. Jakes. And you are not going to want to miss this, believe me. I remember when we started talking about doing this, Michael, Patrick, of course, who's our engineer, says, well, you know, are we going to have a problem finding something to talk about on these things? And I said, Pat, I think that we probably, if we could tune it on live right now, Michael, to one of the Christian satellites, probably what they're talking about right now we would be able to use.
At the moment, just say, okay, record the next 1 minute, boom, and we'd have material.
And we do have a caller, which Patrick has informed me of. It's our man George calling from Mount Vernon, Ohio. George, how are you? You're online with Glenn Klein and Michael Williams.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing wonderfully.
Hey, thank George.
You. Thanks for asking.
Michael, I think I've spoken to you one time in the past, and I want to tell you thank you guys both very much for what you're doing. It's just so much fun. I want to tell you, I never thought that this would happen. But I'm sitting here listening to your show with my 13-year-old son and my wife. And it's
awesome.
We're just hanging out listening.
Welcome to all three of you. My goodness, this is good news. I tell you what, we've watched families that have been able to allow themselves to be separated from the old news of guilt and judgment, and watched relationships just really, really flourish. And it does cause problems when there's one part of the family that believes the gospel and another part of the family that's still evangelical in their beliefs. And it is difficult, so we're very happy for you guys.
You're describing our family to a T. In the past, of course, you know, I was the first to break away, and then it just was a great thing. I wanted to say, you know, my son came to me, oh, gosh, you know, months after I was receiving the truth, and he came to me in tears. He said, Dad, because I quit praying with him.
Yeah.
And he didn't understand it because I just basically couldn't. You know, I couldn't bring myself to say all the jargon and do all those things.
Right.
And he came to me in tears one night, it was a school night, I think, and he came up to me and said, Dad, whatever you're learning, you got to tell me right now. It took me about 5 minutes, and my son was freed.
Oh, my gosh.
About 5 minutes, and
awesome.
He was fine in
awesome.
5 minutes.
How long ago was that, George?
I think it was during the last school year, so.
Let me tell you something, my brother. You are going to be so happy that you are out of religion. What's your son's name?
Anthony. Glenn, you and I have spoke before.
As Anthony grows up, brother,
uh-huh.
And he's a teenager, and you're going to be able to, because believe me, I speak from experience. Having the six kids and the older four are 21 through 17, and I thank God every single day that I didn't have to raise them in the church, because they were weaned on the church stuff, and they used to get special awards and stuff for like worshiping good and stuff, and we had it all in our living room, and they saw it all. But for some reason, I was fortunate enough, as you have too, apparently, to be able to get out just in the nick of time, so that instead of the teenage years being horrible, they had a real good grounding and understanding of their unconditional love by their parents. But then we were able to approach their continued child rearing as teenagers from a gospel perspective. And, Michael, you said this many times, that the kids, because they have not been polluted to the extent of the adults with all the religious rigmarole, that they can get it real quick because they were born into this stuff. They were born into righteousness.
Absolutely. The thing we want to extend to your son is just enjoy Jesus and enjoy life. My gosh, what a wonderful place to know. And see, this touches my heart so deeply because it was when I was a young man at that age that I was contemplating suicide and had attempted suicide by the time I was 15. And believing in Jesus with all of my heart was so tormented inside. So, you know, congratulations, dear boy, and also to your wife and to you, the whole family. Goodness, we are just ecstatic for you.
Well, I thought you'd enjoy that. I do have a question. Tell me, if you could, I'll hang up, let you talk about it, if you have a minute. What is your take on pondering, on receiving in your heart as opposed to your mind? And if you could just say a few things about that and let us hear, I'd appreciate it.
All right, George, but, you know, you guys got to pop some popcorn or, you know, have some cookies.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, that's what it's like because, you know, my wife and I, we listen I just told my son, you know, I want him to start listening to this and hearing some of this stuff because, honestly, I have conversations with him and they're so free. My conversations with this kid are just, and it's like I keep forgetting he's only 13.
Wow.
Because now he's doing all these things that the church wouldn't allow in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm just so excited. I'm very excited for him.
That's
awesome.
And
I want to thank you both.
Hey, George, you made our night. Thanks for calling.
Jay, Glenn, you're the man. Thanks a lot.
All right.
And could you tell me about the heart as opposed to the mind?
Yep, that's where we're going to get to
next.
Thanks,
guys.
All right.
Okay.
You think we ought to answer that question, Mike?
I think we can do that.
George took the time to bless our socks off this evening.
Yes, absolutely.
All right,
so
you've got a great take on the heart and the mind and the soul. Lay it on them.
Yeah, well, you know, and with any information, there is knowledge that you get. You know the function of something. But, you know, the heart is one of those, that is that area where that, it is impacted the way you emotionally respond to things. And, you know, you can know about something, but until that it affects your emotional response is the thing for me that indicates that there has been an impact in the heart. And that's why that we say there's an emotional response. Because the people who have, just like our earlier email, was that the absence, the sudden absence of judgment goes, that's an emotional response. Guilt goes, that's an emotional response. And whether people understand or not, we are very basically emotional beings. And it's those things which positively affect us emotionally that is going to get us through life. And you can't find anything more positive. You will not find anything more positive than the gospel to impact life. It's not to say there's not many things to positively affect your life, and we encourage people to reach out and to be positively affected with many things, is knowledge is, and let their knowledge increase in many different ways. But it is the gospel that frees the heart to give that emotional response of the absence of guilt and the absence of judgment. And when somebody tells me that they believe the gospel, but they still have judgment in their heart, then I know that the gospel has been believed in the heart. It's simply, as remember what Brother Hagin used to say, it's a mental assent. And we can give mental assent to anything. Now, that does not lessen God's view. It doesn't lessen the gospel,
right,
or the power of the gospel as far as relationship with the individual. It's still sealed and strong and powerful, and nothing is going to separate that. But there is that emotional response. And what an emotional response. I mean, he just described the whole thing.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And, you know, you joked earlier about how I can take anything and put it within the prism or through the prism of the gospel. And when that kind of stuff happens just naturally, you know that,
yes,
what's in your heart has made that mental ascent. It's just as natural as it could possibly be.
Yes.
Well, thanks a lot, George, and have a cookie for me tonight. I'm on a very strict diet, so I have to can you believe this? I can't eat any of the good stuff because of an illness I'm battling right now. And it's Thanksgiving.
I know.
That's
sounds like the curse to me.
I feel like I must not have been praying enough or something. I don't know, but it's going okay. I'm happy to report. 1-800-436-3260. Don't go anywhere. We've got our first ever premiere of the Legalist of the Week coming up. But before we do that, we want to get to Brent calling from Northeast Manchester, Indiana? What is it? North. I never heard of North Manchester, Indiana. Brent, you're online. How are you?
Great.
Where's North Manchester, Indiana?
North of Indianapolis.
It had to be north of something, didn't it?
Yeah.
It's not north close of Manchester?
Close to Fort Wayne. Well, it's west. East of West Manchester.
Now, West Manchester, Mike. Indiana.
Okay, stop. This is getting confusing for me.
How are you, Brent?
Great. How are you?
We're doing wonderfully.
Good.
What do you got for us tonight?
Hey, I was just calling in. I just was pulling up the email, and I was mainly just calling in to listen.
You're not able to hear it online?
Maybe. I'm on dial-up, so I didn't. I just glanced at the number and I saw that it was between 9 and 10, so I just called in.
Well, you know what? You actually might have trouble listening to it on dial-up, so how about we just leave you on hold and then you can just listen?
Yeah, because if other people have questions, that'd be great.
No, we got to get to our segment, but we're happy to service it any way we can. But then try it when it's not live on archive and see if the dial-up will do it for you. But if not, we're happy to help.
We'll leave that line open for you for now.
Yeah. All right.
Hey. Good to hear from you.
Have a great Thanksgiving, Brent.
You too, yes.
There's Brent from
awesome.
North Manchester, Indiana, near Fort Wayne. All right, so now we have
Brent. He's part of our live audience in studio tonight. How about that?
Yeah, so just keep him on hold there, Pat, so that Brent can listen from North Manchester. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the premiere of the Legalist of the Week segment. Michael and I have talked about doing this for a long time, and as your generosity has proven true, ladies and gentlemen, we've been able to expand our technological reach here at the Glenn Klein Online Studios to enable us to do this. And, Michael, let's talk for just a second about the concept. We often talk, and we have tonight, about the legalists that portray what they call the gospel in a certain way. And really, a lot of the Bible writers also spent a lot of time comparing the Old Testament legalism, if you will, salvation and redemption, part salvation and redemption through the blood of bulls and goats. And the Bible compares that to self-righteousness. And it also spends a lot of time comparing and contrasting to righteousness in God through the blood of the Lamb of God. And so I think it's very natural to be doing this, actually.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I never will forget when it came to my heart so strongly, you know, the separation of law and grace. And I remember asking the people, you know, they just didn't see, they didn't understand why I was just hounding them about separating law from grace. And I asked the question, well, do you think that it would be okay for us to add a drop of the blood of a goat to the blood of Jesus just to make sure? And it was like they were so offended. And I said, when you are as offended at the thought of a law being added to grace as you are to thinking that the drop of a blood of a goat could enhance the blood of Jesus, then you'll understand the gospel.
Exactly. That's beautiful. And people, you know, they want to hold on to some of the religion, some of the laws. Of course, we've spent a lot of time and will continue to talking about the whole issue of homosexuality. And it's one of the hardest ones to get over. Are we ready to go on this, Pat?
Yes.
All right. Well, I want to hopefully get to an email that we received from somebody that heard you in Wisconsin this week about that and how freeing it was for them. But we've chosen as our first Legalist of the Week a really, really good one. Maybe one of the best. Many of you folks are familiar with T.D. Jakes. He is a preacher from a large church called the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas area, and he has come up the ranks. He started out in West Virginia in a small coal mining town and is really, really good at what he does. He's a terrific speaker and I believe loves God. But he knows how to mix the law with the grace of God in such a creative and almost genius-like way. And so without any further ado, I think this is a perfect example of the schizophrenic nature of legalism that is so prevalent in the Christian media today, and really has been since the Christian media in the day of the Bible writers. So without further ado, he's talking about Cain and Abel. And so now here, ladies and gentlemen, from the Potter's House in Dallas, Texas, Mr. the Bishop, T.D. Jakes.
Listen at the power of this conversation. The Bible says Cain is angry, and his countenance is fallen. He hasn't said anything. He's just looking funny.
Right.
Look at the love of God. That God cares about your look. That God, who is running the universe, would have the time to notice that your face fell. That God would be watching the face of a man who disobeyed him. That God would be concerned about a man who messed up and did the wrong stuff, and that God would say, why is thy countenance fallen? Look at how much he loves messy folk, confused folk, polluted folk, deranged folk, disturbed. Oh, you better shout, because I'm talking about you. Disturbed folk. Look at how God can love you in the middle of a mess. I know I got a witness in here this morning. And he says, yeah. And he says, God, I feel it. He says, why is thy countenance fallen? And then he asked him the most powerful question. He says to him, if thou doest not well, will I not receive you? He said, it's not about who you are. I'm no respecter of persons. It's about what you did. If you fix what you did, I will bless you too. You don't have to be jealous of Abel. If you do what Abel did, you can get what Abel. If I don't preach another word, I'm already giving you the keys to the kingdom right there. Why would you be jealous of anybody? If you do what they do, you can get what they get.
All right. Oh, that's beautiful. TD Jakes, ladies and gentlemen. So, Michael, now this is, of course, this is the first time we've done this. And so you didn't hear much of that, did you?
I only heard the last part of it.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do. Now, Pat, Mike will be able to hear this on hold, right? Patty? So that he can hear it on hold? All right. So here, it's worthwhile hearing again anyway, folks. I'm sure you'll agree after having heard it. And it's so classic in the way he weaves the message of performance, of religious performance, with the love of God. And so we're going to play this again momentarily. Then Michael will be able to hear the whole thing. You'll be able to hear it a second time. And then we are going to, frankly, take it apart. So, Patrick, if we're ready, let's take it away. T.D. Jakes talking about Cain and Abel, and how that God is even concerned about how you look. That's how how disconcerting this relationship with God is, ladies and gentlemen, that God, that you've got to be concerned about God seeing your facial expressions. And then, of course, he ends up talking about if you will do what you find other people successful do, then you are guaranteed success in the eyes of God as well. So here it is again, T.D. Jakes.
Listen at the power of this conversation. The Bible says Cain is angry and his countenance is fallen. He hasn't said anything. He's just looking funny.
Right.
Look at the love of God. That God cares about your look. That God, who is running the universe, would have the time to notice that your face fell. That God would be watching the face of a man who disobeyed him. That God would be concerned about a man who messed up and did the wrong stuff, and that God would say, why is thy countenance fallen? Look at how much he loves messy folk, confused folk, polluted folk, deranged folk, disturbed, oh, you better shout because I'm talking about you, disturbed folk. Look at how God can love you in the middle of a mess. I know I got a witness in here this morning. And he says, hey, God, I feel it. He says, why is thy countenance fallen? And then he asked him the most powerful question. He says to him, if thou doest not well, will I not receive you? He said, it's not about who you are. I'm no respecter of persons. It's about what you did. If you fix what you did,
this is beautiful.
I will bless you too. You don't have to be jealous of Abel. If you do what Abel did, you can get what Abel. If I don't preach another word, I've already given you the keys to the kingdom right there. Why would you be jealous of anybody? If you do what they do, you can get what they get.
All right, so...
yeah.
That just makes you want to stand up and shout, don't it?
What a fun man.
All right, so let's talk about this for a second. First of all, he says that it's the love of God, Michael, that is checking out people's countenances.
The thing that struck me was the such good news, number one, that God loves you just exactly who you are. You're in your confused mess and this, that, and the other. And so true, so true. And see, this is the thing that is causing the problem in the evangelical community. It is not a consistent message that is giving them a problem, because if they spoke consistently one side or the other, the people would be free. It is the mixed message, just like this. This message was the combination of the two.
Yeah, it was classic.
God loves you no matter what. And then on the other hand, but you got to do something for God. You got to do what Abel did to get the blessing of God in your life,
or you could say you got to do what T.D. Jakes does in order to get the blessing of God in your life. Because you see how he took that. God is no respecter of persons. Wonderful message. But then you take it and you say, if he did it for me, or if he did it for Abel, he'll do it for you if you will just do what Abel did. If you'll just do what T.D. Jakes does. If you will just have a church of 18,000 people and have an opportunity to preach to them about the tithe every single week, two times a week, three times a week, and that those people's financial wherewithal is directly dependent on you tithing to that 18,000 person church. You can have what T.D. Jakes has.
Yep. Yes, so our first reward goes out to
Brother T.D. Jakes.
Brother T.D.
And I tell
touchdown,
you,
Jakes, I guess.
He's so good at it. And you know what? As wrong as that is, as schizophrenic as that is, we are happy to be able to announce that T.D. Jakes is just as righteous as Glenn Klein, as Michael Williams, as the Pope, as every atheist, non-believer, agnostic that's out there right now. He is righteous and holy in the sight of God.
Yes.
But Michael, we cannot in any way endorse that kind of unstable, double-minded preaching. It just...
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, and that's the, what we want to be very clear about. This is not in any way, I mean, T.D. Jakes is a fine man by any report that I know of. And we also know that by God's view and opinion of him, God has no bad report. Jesus is offering no bad reports about T.D. Jakes to the Father, and neither is the Spirit. But that even more so in light of that gives us the responsibility to look at that which is truth and that represents that which God has done. Because this life of this life is not based on our opinion of God. It is based on God's opinion of us. And you cannot take and separate that opinion and divide that opinion and honor the cross of Jesus Christ all at the same time. Can't be done.
And that's not to say, ladies and gentlemen, that there aren't things that we can learn from people in the Bible, that there's not things that we can't learn from successful business people and successful parents and however you want to term success. It's
yes.
just that God is no respecter of persons.
Just
because it manifested a certain way through T.D. Jakes' life doesn't mean that if you do the things that are prescribed by people that they say are successful. We sent out a post earlier last week about this guy, Ed Young. We're going to get him as a legalist on the webcast, because that guy is fresh and he's young and he's doing the same damn thing that T.D. Jakes does and the rest of them have been doing, well, for centuries. But certainly since Christian media has been in the forefront in the last 50 years, this is how they make their living.
Yes.
And this is a good time for an altar call, I think, Michael.
I think so. It's called repentance. And T.D. Jakes, we do this because we have been called to it and to the message of repentance. And Brother T.D. Jakes, we call you to repentance. And that true repentance being that of change your mind, dear brother. Change your mind. You have a great message of the love of God. Please, please stop mixing the blood of a goat and the blood of a bull with the blood of Jesus.
Yeah, you can't say it any more succinctly or better than that. Well, folks, I hope that was instructive for you. That's we'll conclude this edition of Legalist of the Week. We'll be taking your requests for folks that you would like to see featured. And something tells me we will be hearing from TD again because he's so good. He's so very good. We got this message, Michael, and I've got two more letters that I want to get to as our time is wrapping up. This comes from a brother that I'm going to withhold his name, and you'll see why in a minute. He said, we have five kids, one left the nest, one in college, and three are still at home, so I haven't donated as much as it would be fun to. But by the way, they did donate $100. But I'm grateful all the work you guys put into this. I've actually found true freedom several years ago before reading any of Mike Williams' material in a book called Freedom in Christ. But it was a glad day when I found someone else saying what I was known to be true. He says that I'm one of those who couldn't figure out why God wouldn't help clean up my desire for appreciating the male figure. Now I'm free. And he capitalizes free with lots of E's next to it. I'm free at heart, he says, Just still dealing with some earthly hiccups. He says, my wife and brother know, but no one else does. It's a rough road for her and therefore for me too. But thanks for listening, he says. And Michael, he's on the road. He's on that freedom road. And that is a beautiful letter to receive. There is nothing that you're doing, our dear brother, nothing that you're thinking that in any way puts you outside of the love of God and the blessing of God and the eternal reward, which is yours, which is heaven. Whatever heaven is, you're going to be going just as sure as anybody who never had a dirty thought, which, by the way, they're not out there. And just stay in touch, and if there's anything we can do for you, you know how to get in touch with us.
Absolutely. And that's what we want people to know, Glenn, is that you know, a lot of times we're talking about support for the ministry, but please understand, we are here to support you. We really, really are. That's what our heart is. And the odd thing about it is your support that gives us the ability to support and to be able to have phone lines and to have the technology and to have people that can staff and be a part of this. And we're very, very grateful. We're very grateful. We're here to serve you.
And that's where your money's going to, folks. I mean, that is such a wonderful report to receive. And this comes from Jeff, Mike, and he says, I was glad to you extended your visit to Wisconsin and came to Beloit to share. He said, my heart was really edified. I was glad to finally meet the voice that I've been listening to for the last 5 to 7 years. If you guys have time and deem this appropriate, I want to share something personal, he writes, that may help other men let down their guards and give the gospel message that Mike preaches a chance. I'm guessing there are others out there like me who have had this same irrational fear. Although I've been listening to Mike's teachings for 5 to 7 years, I was still a little hesitant to come to the meeting. The irrational fear I was dealing with had to do with Mike's sexuality. I suppose it could have been the mystical, charismatic circles that I ran in for a few years, which created such a phobia, causing me to think that if I truly embrace the message Mike preaches, my sexuality could change. I know that sounds ridiculous on so many levels, but I guess that is what religion does. Here's the ironic thing. The message Mike preaches allows us to confront irrational fears such as this and walk right through them. Amen to that. So he says he arrived Sunday evening and immediately felt quite at home. In fact, I wanted to walk up right to Mike right while he was teaching and give him a hug. Had I done that, had I to do it over, I would have. Standing in front of me was the man the Lord had used to help me rediscover the simplicity of God's love for me through the person of Jesus Christ. Wanting to give him a hug was the only response my heart could have had. Another somewhat ironic thing occurred. Mike went off on a tangent at the end of his teaching on Monday night that caused him to say, I don't know where that came from. While what he was preaching may have been meant for others as well, the tangent he went on was especially impacting for my heart. Had I not attended due to my irrational fear, I would have missed that. I wonder how much we miss out due to irrational fears caused by religion. If there is any weeping or gnashing of teeth prior to our eternal bliss, I think it would due to the regret of not living fully in what we've been given. He says, my guess is that there are women out there who have embraced Mike's teaching who have husbands that are not able to get past the sexuality thing. If your husbands are willing to be honest enough to admit their fear, you can tell them that they've got nothing to worry about. When I got home Monday evening, my heart was full of love and my wife looked better than ever. Mike, please receive my heartfelt thanks for your pursuit of the truth and your willingness to share no matter what the consequences. And that was from Jeff in Wisconsin.
Well, we sure appreciate your comments, Jeff, and the effect that the gospel has had. And, you know, sometimes they say, you know, it's the thought that counts, so the hug is accepted and received. I really do appreciate it. And, you know, a lot of times they say you got to drink till she looks better. Sometimes you just got to have more grace till she looks better.
Well, you know, I think that probably Jeff would say she looked good before, but there was no hesitancy that way. And, you know, the thing that Jeff pointed out, Mike, is that if he was thinking that, you know, there are so many other people out there thinking the same thing. And when you share stuff like that with us folks, and whether it be over the telephone or in an email like that, you have no idea how many multiple thousands of people that you're potentially touching with your honesty and with your transparency. And, Mike, one of the beautiful things about this gospel is that it allows people to be honest. And to be transparent. And because there is no condemnation in Christ. And there is no guilt. There is no judgment. Nothing but freedom. It's a beautiful thing.
You are a man who speaks truth, Glenn.
Thank you, Mikey. You too. Well, that about do it for us on this particular Wednesday night. We got Thanksgiving in the United States. Michael, have a wonderful time. And you as well out there, whether you're in the U.S. or not, we're thankful for you, and we're mostly thankful that we know that we are one big family. And the Pilgrims and the Native Americans that sat down to that first Thanksgiving dinner oh so long ago had it right. They are one, but they might not have known it at the time. But as we started with Greg's story, we found out tonight that we are all one in Christ, and no amount of performance can change or improve or take away from God's view of us, Michael.
That's exactly right. Thank God for that consistent opinion. Opinions do seem to rule lives so much, and thank God we have the one single opinion that can absolutely free our lives.
I want to thank Patrick L. Jones for engineering and producing this webcast and everybody who participated in it. We'll do it again in 1 week's time, ladies and gentlemen, live and direct here on the webcast. So until that time, have a great Thanksgiving. And this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.